a 12-month and a day. And if anyone should ask me the reason why I'm wearing it, it's all for my true love, who's far, far away. All around my hat, I will wear the green ribbon. And all around my hat, for a 12-month and a day. And if anyone should ask me the reason why I'm wearing it, it's all.
Told us where we stand, and Flash Gordon was there in silver underwear. Claude Rains was the invisible man. Then something went wrong for Fay Wray and King Kong. They got caught in a celluloid jam. Then at a deadly pace, it came from outer space, and this is how the message ran. A trivet that spits poison and kills. Dana Andrews said prunes, gave him the runes, and passing them used lots of skills. But when worlds collide, said George Powell to his bride, I'm gonna give you some terrible thrills. Like a
show in the back row. to the late night double feature picture show.
You are listening to Also Important 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. Happy All Hallows Eve to everyone who is listening. We have a very spooktacular show, hour of music and scary stories coming up. I'm joined by some special friends in the station to make this hour extra spooky because it's All Hallows Eve and it's only 2 hours and 52 minutes until Halloween. Thank you for listening. To a story. Want to take it away?
All right. Listen up, everyone. A little known fact is that the Eisenhower Interstate System is built over major ley lines. Rumor has it that if specific conditions are met, weird phenomena will occur. The first sign of this phenomenon is that you lose all radio reception, and devices such as iPods, disc players, and even your tape deck will all cease functioning. Your heaters will begin to dispense only cold air, regardless of the setting. After the first mile of this, you'll notice a fog growing at the edges of the road, and you'll see no exits, regardless of where you're supposed to be going and if they're supposed to be there. If you continue on, you'll begin to see the occasional pedestrian. Some of them will even gesture at you that they would like to hitch a ride. Under no circumstances should you stop for them. No one has ever stopped and survived. If you see lights approaching from behind, and it is a hearse, do not let it pass you, no matter what. After 13 miles, this phenomenon will end, and you will be safe. You then enter the second stage. Investigated by witnesses after they read instructions found in a little book left behind at a rest stop bathroom, participants must mix a shot of whiskey, a drop of their own blood, one drop for each participant, and a pinch of salt, as well as a little bit of used engine oil. Mix with water from a rest stop fountain in a glass bottle and smash it on the interstate in the evening or early morning. If the instructions were followed correctly, the way will become densely foggy. An unmarked exit will appear, and if you pass it by, it will be closed to you for 6 years. If you take the exit, go left and under the interstate. Half a mile down the road is an old gas station. Inside, it is said that a full glass, the coffee sold there, will keep you awake all night, and any other food and beverages are reported to have various properties themselves. Pay the proprietor only in metal coinage. No bills, no checks, no cards. There are also some arcade machines near the back of the store, as well as an old fortune-telling wizard in a glass case. He knows how you will die. Accept no sexual favors that are offered to you while there. Do not anger anyone. Your life depends on it. Something really weird happened. Oh, that's it.
Scary. We'll resume shortly.
Yeah.
Another story, courtesy of Creepypasta. We ready?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I'm in desperate need of help. If anyone reading this could please give me some insight, it would be greatly appreciated. I'm aware that some of most of you may be hardcore horror fans like myself. That's why I'm coming to you with a serious problem. I've always been a fan of horror. I always enjoyed a good jump scare or a creepy feeling to keep me up. However, what I have been going through for the past 10 years is something I can't understand. I am a 40-year-old man. I'm happily married and I have 3 children who all go to different schools. Every year, my wife and I would get extremely excited about the fall season. The reason for that is particularly because we both love Halloween. We would always spend a good few grand on decorations and candy. We were known also as the go-to house in our neighborhood for scoring a motherload of treats. However, as I mentioned, something strange occurred 10 years ago. One night, my wife and I were enjoying a little quality time together when we got an unexpected knock at the door. I answered it and was nearly knocked off my feet with a sudden scare. When I opened the door, I was greeted by a large person in a yellow rabbit costume. They looked like a mascot. At close examination, the costume was a little unsettling. The head of the costume contained massive cartoon eyes and ears that were quite long. The whole costume was pretty impressive. It looked like one of those full body costumes you couldn't just find in a store. It was like one of those suits you would have to pay a pretty penny for online. The bunny held a small jack-o'-lantern bucket in his hands. He proceeded to hold it forward without saying a word. This is where the problem began. This happened in the early part of September. As you could imagine, we didn't have any candy to give the poor fellow. I didn't want to be rude. I thought this was just a confused person. There was no way it was a child. The person was huge. They had to have been at least 6.5 feet tall. "I'm sorry, it's a little bit too early for treats. Why don't you come back in October? We'll definitely have something for you then," I said. The bunny simply looked down in his empty bucket, turned his back, and skipped along down the street. Naturally, I found this situation quite bizarre. This wouldn't necessarily be a cry for help if it had ended there. The next time it was in December. Snow was pelting down on the town. That's when we received a knock at the door. I answered and was greeted by the bunny-suited individual again. The suit looked dirty, as it hadn't been taken off in whoever knows how long. The funny thing is, this person never came to my house on October 31st, not a single time. I tried to be nice again and told the person there was no candy. I also told him he should probably find some shelter from the blizzard. There was no way I was letting him into my house. The next time it happened was in January. At this point, I was quite irritated and uncomfortable. I even informed the local authorities of this guy. I could legally say he was harassing me and my house. All these years, the police never came up with anything. I let this go on for 5 years before we decided to move. One time I even answered the door with my gun and threatened violence. Apparently that didn't intimidate him in the slightest. After we moved about 2 miles on the other side of town, we thought it was over. For a few months, nothing happened. Until one day, I got a knock at the door. I didn't think it would be him because everything seemed fine. We didn't have any problems for a while. However, when I answered, it was surely again the costume rabbit person. His costume was completely filthy. I could see dust and spider webs. I could even see little spiders crawling all over his body. It was as if the costume was beginning to rot. No matter how many times I threatened violence or snapped on the guy, he would always come back. This is what I need help with. A few days ago, he came back. I was reluctant to answer the door. It never worked before anyway. This time when I answered, I could see splats of a dried red substance along his mouth and torso. I just wanted this encounter to be over with, so I reached into my pocket and handed him some peppermints. Surprisingly, he shook his head to say no. I have to admit that I'm stupid. For the first time in 10 years, I asked him the question I never thought to ask. What do you want? His body went still for a few seconds. Then, he extended his bucket towards me and gestured for me to look inside. I nearly vomited at the sight. Inside his bucket, there was a heart. For my own conscience, I chose to believe it wasn't a human heart, but I have doubts. And so, in an act of self-defense, I punched the bunny right in his face. His soft cotton head went flying into my front lawn. What I saw then has kept me up ever since. Under the mask, there was nothing. There was no person. It was just empty. I looked over in the yard at the discarded head. I swear for a split second, I saw the head blink. Before I could even process what was happening, the body ran towards the head. It picked up its head and ran at an inhuman speed. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to deal with this. I can honestly use some help. I've gone to the police. I've gone to my kids. Everyone thinks my wife and I are crazy. I'm desperate for help. I'm afraid that my life and that of my wife are on the line. Why? Because this morning something was written on my door. See you on Halloween for one last time. I'm taking that as a threat. We've already decided that we'll be leaving town for Halloween. I don't know if it will matter. What if it finds us like it did the first time? Why is it coming for us? What the hell even is it? If anyone has any solutions or answers, please let me know. Halloween is quickly approaching. We're running out of time. And if a big yellow rabbit comes to your door on Halloween or any time, slam the door in its fucking face.
Wow. We made it the whole story until the penultimate where we violated the radio show's rules. I probably should have told you that.
I'm sorry.
That was incredible. Beautiful Samhain story. All right, on with the music.
To see the feeling they had met before. Uncanny how she reminds him of his little lady. Capacity to give him all he needs, just like his wife before she frees down him. Just like his wife when she was
there's no turning back now. I can't be
for a PSA. Whoever's going to read the PSA, shall we kick it off?
PSA. Driver, personal shopper, financial manager, nurse, and a daughter. At AARP, they understand that many roles caregivers play. That's why they created aarp.org/caregiving. It's an online resource center that connects you with experts and other caregivers. Together, we can better care for ourselves and ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving to learn more. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Time for another story. I hope you've been enjoying the hour of music and scares. Another story, courtesy of Creepypasta. I don't remember much about my childhood, like most people. Those memories are always vague, and eventually you realize whatever you remember is probably just a reconstructed memory. You don't have much choice in the matter, and you are usually convinced that your memory would never fail you. The first memory I have was when I was 5. I'm not sure if it's real or not, but that's when I think I met Michael. I never had any friends, so I was glad when I met him. He called me Jack, and I liked it. As certain I am, if I remember our first encounter, there is no doubting the strong bond we immediately formed. I won't bore you with the details of what we did every day for the past few years, but I will outline some of the things we did together to assure even the most skeptical among the readers of our friendship. Michael, being a slightly effeminate child, didn't have many friends at school either. He was bullied, and the highlight of his day was coming home and sharing a cup of tea with me, all the while telling me of his woes and lessening his burden. The tea, unlike my words of consolation, was make-believe. Another one of his favorite activities was cutting my hair. He would style it in all sorts of ways, and I enjoyed each one of them. Fortunately for him, my hair grew inexplicably fast, and he often got a chance to restyle it. There was one thing that constantly strained our relationship, though. Don't get me wrong, Michael and I had absolutely no hard feelings towards each other. It was his parents. I don't think they approved of me, and I couldn't tell you why, even if I tried. It wasn't just disapproval. I began to think they hated me. The longer our friendship lasted, the worse it got. It pains me to even think about it. So I won't dwell on this for long. As quickly as our relationship had initially flourished, it began to diminish after 2 years. Michael grew to become a stocky football player, and I remained exactly the same as before, scrawny and completely incapable of competing athletically. Oh my god, I'm like losing it. He made new friends and started to ignore me. This hurt me a lot, especially since I was there for him in his time of need. His abandoning me was the last thing I expected, and it hit me hard. I felt like I had no one left in this world. As I sit in the corner of the room and write this, I can see Michael and his friends watching TV. Sometimes, like, he notices me and looks my way. But I know better. I have now resigned to my fate. He created me, but forgot to destroy me. Okay, I feel like I was doing a really good job. Until I got to the part where he was cutting his hair, because I was thinking about Arrested Development. when George is like, give Pop Pop your hair.
Give Pop Pop your hair.
And then Eve texted me that while I was reading it. And you know I keep saying that, give Pop Pop your hair. That was still a good one. Okay, let's get on with the music while we...
And make sure to destroy your imaginary friends you forgot, or else they're watching you with their weird haircuts.
Exactly. Well said. That was a message if I got one. All right, here we go.
Hudson died in Hudson Bay. The water took its victim's name. Now rivers rise toward Riverside to change their names again. Walked in through the door, said all apartments are pre-war. We laughed and asked him for his name. He stayed until the end. We watched the Germans play the Greeks. He mocked the 99-year lease, our father's sign, which I declined to try and comprehend. These never-ending visions, over and over again, like a prize that's changing hands. The time has come, the clock is such a drag. All you who change your stripes can wrap me in the flag. Legendary wooden gate that first established real estate. It's lost to time like other crimes, though on this pleasant land. Over and over again, all these never-ending visions. Over and over again, like a prize that's changing hands. The time has come, the clock is such a drag. All you who change your stripes can wrap me in the flag. But I was born on a sudden place. The rising tide helped me decide to change my name again. Some intend to linger on, and some make haste from Babylon. Some will roam their ruined home, rejoicing to the end. Over and over again, all these never-ending visions. Like a prize to change in hands. The time has come, the clock is such a drag. All you who change your stripes can wrap me in the flag. The lines are drawn, the map is such a drag. All you who change your stripes can wrap me in the flag.
Listening to Also Important on 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Thank you everyone for listening to the Halloween, All Hallows Eve, Also Important. This evening you've listened to Hudson by Vampire Weekend, In the Next Life by Kim Petras, as well as Turn Off the Light from the Turn Off the Light clear vinyl given to me by my brother. Thank you. Before that, you heard Goblin with Suspiria and Profondo Rosso, which I've seen live at the Somerville Theater twice on Halloween. Radiohead, Everything in Its Right Place. And Richard O'Brien from the Rocky Horror Picture Show, Science Fiction Double Feature, which is playing tomorrow night, Halloween Eve, at the Somerville Theater at 9 p.m. However, the tickets are sold out, so for those going, enjoy, and those who missed out, maybe next year. The next song I'd like to dedicate to a new fan of this artist who put me on, and this is her favorite song, and that person is my mom, and she is a fan of the artist Youngblood, and the song is Zombie. Please enjoy. We'll be right back.
about the words they would hurt. They would hurt. So if you were to ask about the pain, I would lie. I would lie to fix my mind. I need time, but it's right. Spaceship to the moon, but we'd crash. It wouldn't last, because the world is just a figment of the fools, a blank stare. They don't care.
Somerville story.
Somerville Powder House ghost story. An ancient windmill once stood at the site of the Revolutionary War at a powder house in Somerville, Massachusetts. The tower is located at College Avenue and Broadway in a public park. The following story is often attributed to that powder house windmill. The old powder house is so named because of the outbreak of the Revolutionary War. It was used as a temporarily as a magazine, but long before that, it was a windmill. Here in the old days, two lovers held their rendezvous, a sturdy and honest young farmer at the neighborhood, and the daughter of a man whose wealth bloated him with purse pride. The father held an elitist opinion of the farmer, and when it was whispered to him that the young pair were meeting each other almost every evening at the windmill, he contrived a surprise and to humiliate them at the mill as punishment. From the shadow of the door, they saw his approach, and yielding to the girl's imploring, the farmer hid himself while she climbed to the loft. The flutter of her dress caught the old man's eye, and he rushed, panting, into the mill. For some moments, he groped about, for his eyes had not grown used to the darkness of the place. And hearing his muttered oaths, the girl crept backward, away from the stairs. She was beginning to hope that she had not been discovered when her foot got caught in a loose board and she stumbled. But in her fall, she threw her hand to save herself and found a rope within her grasp. Immediately, when her weight was applied to the rope, there was a whir and a clank, and the cord had set the great fan blades in motion. Suddenly, a fall was heard, then a cry, passing from anger to anguish. She rushed down the stairs, and the farmer appeared from his hiding place at the same time, and together they dragged the old man to his feet. At the same moment, when the wind had started the blades and he had been standing on one of the millstones, and the sudden jerk had thrown him down, his arm, caught between the grinding surfaces, had been crushed to a pulp. He was carried home and nursed tenderly, but he did not live long. Yet, before he died, he was made to see the folly of his scheme, and he consented to the marriage that had cost him so dearly he tried to prevent. Before she could summon heart to set the wedding date, the girl passed. Many months of grief and repentance, and for the rest of her life she avoided the old mill. There was a good reason for doing so, people said, for on windy nights the spirit of the old man used to haunt the place, using such profanity that became visible in the form of blue lights dancing and exploding about the building.
Beautiful. Now we'll hear from Dr. Loomis himself.
I met him 15 years ago. I was told there was nothing left. No reason, no conscience, no understanding, and even the most rudimentary sense of life or death, of good or evil, right or wrong. I met this 6-year-old child with this blank, pale, emotionless face and the blackest eyes, the deathless eyes. I spent 8 years trying to reach him, and then another 7 trying to keep him locked up, because I realized that what was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
What do we do?
He's been here once tonight. I think he'll come back. I'm going to wait for him.
I still think I should notify the radio and television.
No. If you do that, they'll see him in every street corner. They'll look for him in every house. Just tell your men to keep their mouths shut and their eyes open.
I come from Boston. I'm going to tell you all about how I love New England. It's my favorite place. You know, I've been all around the world, but I love New England best. I might be prejudiced, but it's true. I love New England best. Well, now, give me a D, maestro. That's pretty good. Give me another one, though, without him. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I've already been to Paris, I've already been to Rome. And what did I do but miss my home? I have been out west to California, but I miss the land where I was born. I can't help it, dum de dum de dum 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 day. New England, dum de dum de dum 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 day. New England, ride a wild man. I have seen old Israel's arid plain. It's magnificent, but so's Maine. I'm talking dum de dum de dum 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 day. New England, dum de dum de dum 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 day. New England, right away. Dum-de-dum-de-dum-dum-dum-day. Oh, one more time this way. Dum-de-dum-de-dum-dum-day. Oh, New England. Dum-de-dum-de-dum-dum-dum-day. Oh, New England. Go! Dum-de-dum-de-dum-dum-dum-day. Oh, I love New England. Dum-de-dum-de-dum-dum-dum-day.
Just jumping in to say thank you all very much for listening to Also Important on 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Happy All Hallows Eve. I hope everyone has a wonderful, macabre, and safe night. And a great Halloween tomorrow. I hope everyone has a really, really wonderful Halloween. Thank you for listening. And I'll be back 2 weeks from now on November 13th, I believe it is, Thursday, 9 p.m. And we're going to close out before the next show with Harvest Sky by Okelu and Underscores. Please enjoy.
And with no one around me, I come alive. This day's our wedding. when I watch from the balcony, I feel alright.
In the night, slow dance floor.